Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the parable commonly called the prodigal son, sometimes called the lost son, sometimes called the loving father. Now, this parable comes at the end of two other stories. And in order to understand this story, it's not necessary, but it's a good idea to look at the other two. What is going on is Jesus is eating with people who are tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, the whole thing. And the Pharisees are saying, doesn't he know who these people are? Why would you join with those kind of people if you knew how bad they were? And so these parables are directed at two distinct groups. One are those who are the losers of Jewish society, the ones who go under Roman rule, the ones that don't have money, the ones that are living on the edge. And to the Pharisees and those who are wealthy and follow the Jewish laws and are in the synagogues, these others have been excluded by now. So Jesus tells these parables. The first story is convincing enough. What man among you would not go after one sheep and leave 99 on a hill? The answer is, nobody's that dumb. Nobody's going to go after one sheep and leave the 99 alone on the plain. That would be crazy. And then, if you follow Jesus' story, he says, and when he found him, he carries him and he comes and celebrates with his friends saying, look, I found one sheep. That is not good economics. Even Pastor Piazza knows that's not good economics. But nevertheless, he says, therefore, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than not righteous 99. And then he tells a story about a woman who has her dowry money, that's kind of known in the text, and she loses a tenth of it, a coin. And not having electric lights or flashlights or things like that, she lights a candle in the house in the daytime, wasting all that, and sweeps in the house. And there, while there might have been boards, there's also a likelihood that there would be straw on the floor or clay or whatever. And she sweeps the whole house and finds it. That's good. I mean, you've spent a candle's worth of money. That's not great. But then she invites her friends over for a party. Look, I've found the coin. Spending much more, obviously, than the coin was worth. There is much rejoicing in heaven. And that's to both groups. Those who are losers in life. Those who are down. Those who recognize their sin before God are lifted up. Rejoice, there is joy in heaven over you. And then he tells the topper of the story of all. Now, you're all familiar with the outline, and we've just read it, but in order for you to kind of get the flavor of what Jesus is doing, I'm going to emphasize a couple of twists. So the first twist comes when the younger son comes and says basically to dad, drop dead, I want the money that's coming to me when you are dead. And now in Jewish society, and for that matter, Roman, Greek, and probably every other society, if your youngest come does that, he's going to at least earn a slap and a rebuke and maybe be thrown out the door. But the father doesn't say anything except he divides it among the two brothers, graciously putting himself out of the way. That's the first twist. So, by now, those who are the good people, the good Jewish people, say, wow, that is certainly not right. But then, Jesus tells the rest of the story, and it would be expected to be this way. The younger son goes, takes his property, loses it all. Oh, see, he's finally getting what he deserves. That's a good story, Jesus. It's going to be a story about somebody learning their lesson. And Then he gets down into the very depths, where it's hard to imagine a life like this in today's society, but he's hired out basically as a slave to somebody who tells him to feed the pigs, which of course is against all Jewish doctrine teaching. And he wants to eat the unclean food of pigs, and nobody gives him anything. Now, if Jesus had ended the story there, everybody would have been happy. The Pharisees would have said, see what it gets you when you rebel against God. See what happens when you end up with nothing. But Jesus does not. He continues the story by saying he came to himself. That is, he realized the position he was in, and so he came up with a plan. And the plan was to go back to his father and plead with his father that he's not worthy to be a son, but he'd be a servant. Wow, that would be a good ending too. Because there you have it. You have the going, the dropping down, hitting rock bottom, and then you have somebody making up their mind to go back and at least live as a servant for your father. Well, Jesus continues on. And so the son goes. And now the greatest, most amazing thing happens. The father is looking for him from afar off. Now, what the son could have expected when he came back, and what the Jewish people thought would happen when he came back, is he'd have to run the gauntlet of the village, because that's how they lived. He was out in the fields, and there's a village, and you come to your father's house. That's how it works. And he would have to run a gauntlet. And I'm not just talking about the sneers and the giving of the eye to this person. As Jewish people who were righteous, they would have the right to throw rocks at him, to throw garbage at him, to make his life miserable as he crawled to his father's house. And maybe his father wouldn't even do anything for him. But Jesus, he tells the story that the old man lifts up his skirts of his robes and runs out the village gate and to his son. Now, this is a shameful thing in Jewish society. When you were an older person and had that, you ran for nobody. You were the pillar. You were the one who was decided what society should be like. And so doing this, all the villagers, all the people in that town would laugh. They'd laugh at this guy. What is he doing running through town? And then Jesus says, when he gets up to the son only gets the first part of what he says out. He says, I'm not worthy to be your son. I have sinned against you and sinned against God. And the father interrupts him. He takes this, he has his robes on, and he takes his son, who is in rags, who has been feeding hogs, who has been on a journey without much to eat, and he grabs him and hugs him and kisses him and says to the servants, doesn't say to the son, he says to the servants, bring a robe, the best one, put the ring, his family seal, on his finger, and put shoes on his feet. For my son was dead and now is alive, he's lost and found, and the fatted calf as well. The son expected none of this. This would have made those listening who were good and righteous upset. Why should such a son be treated this way? It's not going to do any good. He never learned his real lesson, which is you don't go against the father. You can't put him back into place. The father can't do that. It would be like laying down all his righteousness and giving it to the son. And they walk together back through the village. No sneers, only laughter, only envy perhaps. But that's what goes on. And they celebrate. And you could see how those who are lost, those who have gone away from God, those who have been out in the world doing what they want, when they hear this, they rejoice. For God is a loving God. He wants them to be his own. And even while they may be stuck, well, even while they may be hurting and sinning, God wants them back. And he doesn't even let them be a slave. He calls them a son. Amazing. And now we get to the third one, which is now against those righteous. The older son comes, he hears the noise, he asks a servant what's going on. Servant tells him, and he said, I'm not going in. And what he means by not going in isn't that he's going to absent himself. He's going to stand outside the door and glare at everybody that is there. And so his father humbles himself once again. Remember how the father is to be treated. If this son, older son, has something against his father, he is supposed to wait and put on a good face until it's time to be private with that father, and then you can talk to him. But no, he's standing there, and the father leaves the party, goes out to him, and says, look, your brother is back. My son is back. And the older brother says, look, he's devoured your property, and you're asking back. You have never given me even a kid to celebrate with my friends, but do you remember the beginning of the parable? Who did the father divide up the property with? Both of them. You see, the father was living with the older son, not as the owner of it, but as the silent partner and chief steward of it. And the older son has no reason to do that. The father says so. What I have is yours. It's been this way since your brother left. And there we are. How could we not celebrate? He's lost and was found, was dead as alive. Jesus leaves it that way. What do the Pharisees do? Perhaps what is more important is, what do you do with the teaching of the parable? Are there those that you would rather see humbled than humble yourself? Are there those who do not rejoice in those coming back into the fold? The older son did not have any love for his father, and is as bad as the younger son. He showed his rebellion, and Jesus tells those who were wondering what it is with the sinners that Jesus has to do with them. And that, dear friends, is the question. God's Son has served you. During the season of Lent, it is apparent. He dies on the cross for your sake. He loves you. And he will do anything for you. He will humble himself to the lowest degree. He will take beatings. He will take spit. He will take shame. He'll take mocking. And even death. So that you are back in the family. Well, for those older brothers, those ones who are stiff and thinking they're righteous, the party's for you too. All the brother has to do is repent and take his father's words to heart and believe. And we can literally end this story. That is you. Are you willing to stay out of the party for your own projects, for your own desires? Or are you willing to go in with the younger brother? May it be for you, as it is for all sinners who repent, that you join in the celebration forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.